for our opening hymn. Father in heaven, we do indeed feel that it's a privilege for us to be in your presence. We thank you for being here as you have promised, and it fills us with awe and gratitude that you would be here. And we sometimes feel unworthy, we sometimes feel uncomfortable, but we also, though, sometimes feel grateful and we feel blessed to be here. And we ask that no matter why we are here today, that you will, through your Holy Spirit, just shake us up today. We want to be shaken. We don't want to be just blessed, and we don't want to just be sweet, and we don't want to just be nice, but we want to be on fire for you. We want to be shaken up. We want to be just really on fire for you. We want your fire to be in our lives. We want it to be contagious and spread to others so that your kingdom may be enlarged. So rain down on us, Holy Spirit. Rain down on us and bless us today. We don't want to be comfortable. Some of us do need comfort, but some of us need to be shaken. And may we be open to your Spirit this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hymn number 371, Lift Him Up.
Lift him up, 'tis he that bids you, let the dying look and live. To all weary, thirsty sinners, living waters will he give. And the one so meek and lowly, yet the Prince of Heaven was he. And the blind who grope in darkness, through the blood of Christ shall see. Lift him up, the risen Savior, high amid the waiting throng. Lift him up, 'tis he that speaketh, now he bids you flee from wrong. Lift him up, this precious Savior, let the multitude behold. They with willing hearts shall seek him. He will draw them to his fold. They shall gather from the wayside, hastening on with joyous feet. They shall bear the cross of Jesus and shall find salvation sweet. Lift him up, the risen Savior, high amid the waiting throng. Lift him up, 'tis he that speaketh, now he bids you flee from wrong. Lift him up in all his glory,
'tis the Son of God on high.
Lift him up, shall draw them, even the careless shall draw nigh. Let them hear again the story of the cross, the death of shame, and from tongues to tongue repeat it. Mighty throng shall bless his name. Lift him up, the risen Savior, high amid. Now he bids you flee from wrong. Oh, then lift him up in singing, lift the Savior up in prayer. He, the glorious Redeemer, all the sins of men did bear. Yes, the young shall bow before him, and the old their voices raise. Oh, all the deaf shall hear Hosanna, and the dumb shall shout his praise. Lift him up, the risen Savior, high amid the waiting throng. Lift him up, 'tis he that speaketh, now he bids you flee from wrong.
Please be seated. Thank you.
Good morning, church. How are we today? I'm going to invite all the little children to come up with their smiling faces so they can come and smile at all of us. How's that? Maybe you'll give us something to smile, because sometimes I look out here and I see these. I mean, I'm happy to be here. I don't have to work today. Look at these faces. Aren't they cool? Oh, cool. Good morning, boys and girls and young gentlemen. I'm with you. I'm the baby of the family. I can sit there, too. I want to tell you a story about Maggie. Now, Maggie, her grandma, which she called Nana, had a little dog, and she had this dog since she was a little puppy. But as time goes by, the puppy got very, very old, and he started losing his teeth. And his eyes, they got bad. They got little white clouds over, so he couldn't see. But he could still smell pretty good. And one day, Maggie went out in the backyard, and they were playing, and she moved this little brick out of the backyard. But that one little brick was what kept the little doggy from running away. And he was smelling around the fence, and he got out the fence. And he got lost. Now, his name was Midnight Shadow's Illusion. We called him Shadow, though. Anyway, he got lost, and they couldn't find him anywhere. They looked up and down the streets and up and down the alley, and they asked the neighbors. Nobody had seen Shadow. And Nana started crying and being all upset. This was her buddy. He'd sleep in the bed with her. He was her dear friend. And she was crying. She was upset. She didn't know what to do. And then Maggie goes, Nana, let's pray and ask Jesus to help us find the dog. She goes, no, this is too small. He's not going to worry about my little doggy. And then the little girl goes, but Mommy, doesn't Jesus worry about the sparrow that falls from the tree? Doesn't he know how many hairs in your head? How many hairs do you have in your hair, in your head? Do you know? Jesus knows. Nothing's too small for him. So she goes, all right, we'll pray. And they were praying. So they got on their knees and they go, dear Jesus, help my little shadow come home. Help him to sniff his way back to the house. And how many of you ever had prayer, after you pray, hear a little voice go, go look over here. Go do this. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had that happen to you? I have. It's awesome. And you go, okay, I'll listen. So this little voice goes, go look in the alley one more time. Oh. So they went out and looked in the alley, and there was Shadow bumping along the fence, but he was coming home. They opened the gate, they threw it open, and they were so happy to see their little doggy. And Nana was so happy. Prayer is so powerful, even for the little things. No matter what they are, if you pray because you got an owie and you want God to help you fix it, it's not too small of a prayer. And if you need to find a place of where you're going, the Holy Spirit can help you find that way. And he'll help you down that path. And he's helping us down the most difficult path. And that's the path to get to heaven. And that's the one I want to be on. You all want to be on the path to heaven? Amen. So I hope to see you on that path. You going to be bumping along with me? All right. You can all go back to your chairs now.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath.
Good morning, Fred.
Are you ready to give?
Yes.
Do I need to give you a pep talk first? That's what the call to offering is, right? It's a pep talk. Maybe you were going to give a dollar, and it's my job to stand up here and have you double that. I shared a story with my Sabbath school class a while ago that a friend of mine told me over in an adjacent church, so you may have heard this before. Three little boys, like three of them that were sitting up here just a while ago, were talking about their fathers. One little boy says, "Man, my dad's the greatest." He takes a pen, takes a piece of paper, scribbles a few notes, calls it a poem, and gets $100. Second little kid says, "Well, that's nothing." Says, "My dad takes a piece of paper, scribbles a few notes, calls it a song, he gets $500. Third little boy says, "Oh, you guys are losers." Said, "My dad takes out a piece of paper, scribbles a few notes, calls it a sermon, and it takes four guys to pick up the money." Ever since I was a little kid, the offering has always been picked up before the sermon. It used to be in old churches that there was an offering box in the back and you dropped your offering after the sermon. I don't know if that says anything about how sermons have changed over the years. But why do you give? Do you give in response to a good sermon? Do you give in response to a good offering call and a pep talk? Why do you give? In the book Desire of Ages, which many of you have at home, there's a little paragraph that has a sentence that says, "Nothing but the selfish heart of man lives unto itself. Everything else was created to give." We live to give. This morning in Sabbath school, we touched briefly on the concept of manna. Do you remember manna? God provided the needs of his children every day, and he continues to do that. Paul says in Philippians, he says, "My God will supply some of your needs." That's what the text says, right? What does the text say? My God will supply all your needs. God wants us to live to give. He wants us to be a channel of blessing. And if we hang on to it, if it's manna, it will spoil. If it's money, it will what? Rust or disappear or be burned up or become valueless. We're told in the end of time, money will become valueless. It's just ink printed on paper. But one thing's for sure, you're not going to be able to hoard it and take it with you, because up there you won't need it. But right now, whatever God has given you, he allows you to be a channel of blessing so that it can flow from him through you out to bless others. Today's offering is for, there's a little blue sheet. Pull it out in your bulletin. Today's offering is for Adventist Television Ministries. It's interesting how the Adventist Church does offerings. I'm going to give you a little history here. There's 52 Sabbaths in a year, and the headquarters says, "All right, we're going to divide this up according to this formula." And if I remember correctly, two Sabbaths a month are for local offerings, one Sabbath a month is for North American Division, and another Sabbath a month is for the worldwide work. That's how it works. So today, the assignment from headquarters is the offering is for Adventist Television Ministries. Now, television is not the same as radio or other media ministry. This is specifically, if you look there, there are three logos on the bottom. Television Ministries for Faith for Today, Breath of Life, and It Is Written, the Television Ministries. I can tell you it costs money to run a television ministry. At It Is Written alone, we spend somewhere between $2.5 to $3 million just purchasing airtime so that the message that you believe in can be on television so that others can watch and hear about it. Now, there's a little notice in your bulletin here, which happens in many churches, and it says that the offering's for Adventist Television Ministries, but there's a little italic disclaimer in small type underneath. which says that if you're going to put a dollar or more in the, is it up there? Yep, loose offering, goes to the church budget. This is common in many churches. So if you want your money to go to the Adventist Television Ministries, just take a church offering tithe envelope, stick your offering in there, and just mark on there ATM or TV or some way to let the church treasurer know that you'd like to go have that money go for the Adventist Television Ministries. Or better yet, go to the websites. Go to It Is Written website. Learn more about It Is Written. Go to Faith for Today website. Learn more about Faith for Today or Breath of Life, who just had an incredible Christmas program that they hosted on many television stations free of charge. We try to get on as many stations free of charge as possible. If you want your money to be designated for a specific television ministry, then put a notation there, Breath of Life, Faith for Today, or It Is Written. Or go to those websites and you can donate online if you'd like to support Adventist Television Ministry. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing that you've given us to participate the way that you live, to live to give. And Lord, this morning we thank you for this opportunity that we can again underscore our love for you and share in the blessing of giving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's have our deacon stand.
I'm going to invite Alec, Mom and Dad, Big Brother Aiden, Grandmas and Grandpas, Aunts and Uncles, Cousins, to come up and join me. Come on, Grandmas and Grandpas, Aunts and Uncles, come on up and join me up here. We'll scoot over and make more room. Huh? We need lots of room. This is a good thing. Wow. We don't want anybody left behind. Well, don't stand down there. Come on up.
You can say in Spanish.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Going to interpret. That's fine. That's good. All right. Where's... Oh, there's Aiden. Okay. Got to keep track of Big Brother. Hi, Alec. Wow, what a privilege it is. You know, children's dedications are really special times. And it is so much fun to see our children grow. And it hasn't been long at all, and little Alec here is no longer little. He's just growing up with leaps and bounds. He's so precious. He's not taking his eyes off of me for a second. So he and I are, he's going to be the next preacher. We've already had a talk. Remember out in the courtyard we talked about that? Yeah, don't forget it. All right, you take good notes today. All right, and then improve on them vastly. Can you do that? Well, it's just delightful, Armando and Jenny, to be here with your family. We're sorry your mom couldn't be here today because she's not feeling well. So well, we're going to give our stamp of blessing on little Alec this morning in a special way. Well, remember, there's an important text in the Bible that goes like this. It's found in Psalms 127, verse 3. Children are a heritage from the Lord. A heritage from the Lord. He has plans for you, Alec. Plans to prosper and grow you into a fine, outstanding young man who loves Jesus and is a witness for Jesus and a disciple of Jesus all day long, starting now. So no pressure, but this is what we're going to do. Why? Because Jesus loves children. Remember, Mom and Dad, what Jesus said? That back in Matthew 19, 14, he says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them." I don't want to ever grow up. See, that's why you've heard me say, this pastor never wants to grow up. He's always going to be a kid, because I don't want to be left behind. Jesus has plans for children. And what a special place that's going to be. Well, Jesus loved children. He let them love to have them come and sit on his lap and to hold them, laugh with them and kid with them and just have fun with his children. He loved them so much, and his compassion runs deep and long for his children. Well, Armando and Jenny, you're surrounded by your biological family, but I want you to look out here and see the rest of your family. Now, you see, this fits in well with our series of sermons that we've been working on, and the message we're trying to get to our church is that everyone, including the babies, are what? Important in God's eyes. And all of us are disciples. All of us have a work to do with and for Jesus. So we're starting to build on that, and you've been working on that over how many months now?
Almost six.
Almost five and a half months, Alec has been working on that. And he's had great tutors. And he's great role models in Mom and Dad and Big Brother Aiden. So we're really proud of you and glad you're here. So keep Jesus in your heart and in your mind. And as we grow our church and fulfill Christ's vision, his values, and his mission, you're going to be right out there at the front leading the way. Okay, Alec? All right, remember this promise, Mom and Dad, from Jesus in Matthew 28:20, the very last sentence of the book of Matthew, "I, Jesus, am with you sometimes." No, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Alec, will you let me hold you? We'll turn around here, so Mom and Dad and grandmas and grandpas can, and our church family. Isn't he handsome? All right. Well, let's pray, shall we, Alec? Gracious, loving Jesus, we come to you this morning just so excited about the plans that you have for Alec. He's growing into such a big and handsome young man. He's so blessed to have a mom and dad who love you with all their heart, mind, and soul. And may he and his big brother Aiden shine like the stars of the heavens as they fall in love with you and grow deeper and deeper in their love of and with you, Jesus. Lay your hedge of protection around them, your umbrella of protection over them, and your Holy Spirit filling them every second of the day. And gift their parents to be the greatest spiritual role models and life transformers through your guidance ever. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Thank you. Okay, I've got something for you. You know, we sang a song this morning about lambs. He's not interested in lambs. He's fascinated with the lights. So I'll let Dad hold the lamb. And Mom, I'll give you back Alec. Aiden, where are you? I have something for you. Dad? You know, big brothers need to read to their little brothers, right? Okay. This is Bible Book for Beginners. So you share all of those stories with your little brother, okay? Will you do that? And God bless you, and may we prosper and grow in the love and grace of Jesus. Thank you. Good to see you. Thank you.
Good morning, church family.
Our scripture reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
You feel blessed this morning? It's been good so far. Let's continue that on. Would you please join us in kneeling before the Lord in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship you again this morning. Let this place in each heart be shaken with the rebaptism of your Holy Spirit. Let your grace fall on each one here, those of this congregation who are unable to attend today, those whom we love who are outside of this congregation, and those who love you, whom we do not yet know. Strengthen all of us in your power and heal us by your loving caress. Lord, there is much strife in this world today, and it marks sure evidence of your soon return. Search our hearts, O Lord, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Show each of us clearly where we must stand to promote your kingdom, and give us the confidence and courage to walk the path that you lay before us. Let your message be channeled through Pastor Dennis this morning, that we might all be changed by it and renewed in it. These things I ask in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Alyssa, and this is my friend Nathan, to my left or right, I don't know. Oh, there you are. Hello. Yeah, that's Nathan, and I actually met Nathan a few years ago at a camp for the blind that is held by an organization called Extreme Mobility. And what we do is we have activities. We go to Colorado every year in the winter, and we have activities such as snow skiing and snowmobiling and all these different fun activities, and ultimately what our goal is to share the gospel with blind people who have never heard it before, and to love them. And so Tonight we are holding a fundraiser for this camp, and it will be at the Simi Adventist Media Center, and it would really be a blessing if you could join us tonight if you'd like. And it will be full of music and entertainment, and just you'll be blessed. So if you are available tonight at 7, please join us, and please worship with Nathan and I right now.
You and ask you, and I wanna be where you are.
I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you
Thank you, Alyssa and Nathan. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus came to your rescue and mine? What a privilege it is to come and share together. Can't wait for your final song, The Prayer. It's going to be a great conclusion to our time together today. I want to invite Pastor Will to come up. And while he's doing that, take out the green form in your bulletin and look on, I don't know if it's the front or the back, it doesn't matter, but this one, it says Visitation Day, Linda Vista Elementary School, this Wednesday, February 15, 8 to 12 p.m. If you have a preschooler that's about ready for kindergarten, or you have a first grader through an eighth grader, you don't want to miss. Go and check out this outstanding school. They do such a marvelous job of training our children, getting them ready for heaven. Will.
Yes?
I was expecting you to come bounding through the door with a message.
Of?
Something about February 25.
Yes. If you guys take your bulletins out, you'll see a mention of February 25th, there's a leadership luncheon meeting, and I'm here to tell you the time of day that will be taking place. Time will be 1:30. There's some parents and leaders in our church that will be with the Newberry Park Academy. I believe they have a concert at another church during that day. We set the time at 1:30 so that it'll be time enough to come back. What this meeting is all about is any leader in our church, whether you're in cradle role or through adults. It's a leadership meeting where we're going to discuss, talk about, and set our values, our mission, and our vision. Have we not talked about that over the last month or so? Yes. We've seen what our values are from the surveys. The leadership meeting is going to be a chance and a time for all of our leaders to get together, pray, ask for God's presence to lead in His way.
Now, that includes elders, deacons, deaconesses,
yes,
and anybody else that has a passion to make sure that this church, your church, grows and pops in its values and discipleship building of one another. Ready for who? Jesus to come.
Jesus coming.
We've got to get ready, my friends. It's coming sooner than we think. Are you ready? I think you are. We've got to be ready. It's not get ready, it's be ready. And so this is part of that process of growing our ability to disciple one another through the love and grace and leadership of Jesus, and to expand and grow the outreach ministries of our church so that we become the place to be in Camarillo. Last Sabbath, one of my McDonald's friends was here. It's working. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
I was expecting another one today. Daniel didn't make it, but he'll be here. So God is answering in our prayers. Isn't that wonderful? And He never ceases to surprise me. Anything else we need to say? Do they need to bring a lunch or a supper or anything like that?
We're going to provide some food. It's not going to be a full spread. We expect some people will go home for lunch and come back.
Come back.
But we will have food provided.
It's risky when they go home. But they're trustworthy, right?
It's worth coming to.
It's worth coming to, that's right.
If you have children and you've got concerns about childcare, we will have that provided. big, important
Great.
Part.
Thank you, Will.
Looking forward to seeing you guys there.
Thank you, thank you. Will and I had an opportunity to go to a conference Thursday in Ventura. The speaker was David Kinnaman, who is now the president of the Barna Group in Ventura. And he has written a new book called You Lost Me. And so the conference was based on the research that they have come up with about the age group from 18 to 29 years of age and how to recapture them, how to keep them in the church. That's why this leadership meeting is so important, is because we've got to strategize different than we have before under the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to keep our young people in the church. Can you say amen to that? Is this a matter of concern to you? It's not unique just to our church. It's unique to all churches out there. And they made that very clear. But here's what I know. I know that God hears and answers prayer. He showed me again this morning how he hears and answers prayer. This morning at breakfast, one of my very dear friends walked up to me. His name is Michael Potts, and handed me a book. Check the size of this book out. A thin little thing. Says, The Classic Collection on Prayer. I opened it up, and I dog-eared this page because I didn't want to miss it. You see, every page you open up has volumes of information about the importance of prayer. This is chapter 4. God's need of people who pray. Do you catch the title? Who needs prayer? God does. God's need of people who pray. I had a sermon prepared for you this morning, and I will hit a few highlights on it. You have a handout in your book, or in your book. Yeah, it was like a book this morning, wasn't it? Your bulletin. And I'm going to cover some of that. But I just thought, you know, then I think I dog-eared one other page. I mean, it's just, this is just, so I can't wait to start reading this book. And have a burning desire in prayer. That's the title of this particular page. Have a burning desire in prayer. How many of us, when we get up in the morning, have that burning desire to open our hearts to Jesus? Anybody brave enough to raise their hand? All right. You see, that's what's going to change us. It's not me, your pastor. It's your relationship with Jesus that is going to make the fundamental difference in how we minister to people. I want to be shook up. You know, when I was putting that title on the sign, I was thinking, what are people going to think? What has become of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? They're all shook up. Or people are going to say, what does that mean? I want to come and find out. Anybody here this morning that's brave enough to raise their hand and say, I saw that title and I wanted to come and find out what it was all about? They're hiding their hand if they're... But it was interesting. I mean, I was wrestling with, you know, Dr. Lowe pointed out this morning, you know, well, it sounds like an Elvis Presley, you know, I'm all shook up. Well, I am shook up, but it has nothing to do with Elvis Presley. It has everything to do with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Everything. I'm tired of this whole world. This has been a tough week for me. I haven't had a funeral, praise the Lord. When I got to McDonald's on Tuesday, I was wearing a tie. And the men said, uh-oh, means either a funeral or, and I said, no, a meeting. Oh, good. They look out after me. They really do. They take care of me. And I have to share this with you. The Holy Spirit is working, because on Monday morning I walked in. I have my Bible in my hand and my newspaper. What a great combination, huh? And I'm walking in, and before I can sit down, one of the gentlemen at the center table says to me, Pastor Dennis, we need your help. I'm going, oh, those are good words. How can I help you? Well, we have a question. What's the difference between Jehovah's Witnesses, and he rattled off a couple other denominations, and Seventh-day Adventists? Good question. What's the difference? And I'm saying, I don't really know. That's not what I said. I continued my praying, give me the answer. So I sat down. There was an empty seat at the head table, you might say, at McDonald's. And for 40 plus minutes, we had a Bible study. Isn't that exciting? At McDonald's. Yes. Church. At McDonald's. And church was there. Last Sabbath, church was here. And he missed me. He says, where were you? And I said, well, I was at a worship conference. Oh, okay. I was at church, just not the Camarillo church. People are asking, people are wondering, people are questioning. And I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to a Catholic, at least one Catholic, several Methodists, and some who I have no idea what, if any, faith they have. And I'm sharing the Bible with them. Here's what I said in answer to the first question about us, between us and Jehovah's Witnesses. I had my Bible. I hold my Bible, and I say from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation chapter 22, this book is all about Jesus and our relationship to and with him. And there's not a bit of it that we can ignore. We have to read it all. We have to study it all. We have to compare it. And we have to know that Jesus is in charge, and it's his plan to save his people. And then I went back to creation, and I talked about creation and the Sabbath that was given to us at creation. Now remember, I'm sitting there with these men, and I'm saying to them, you know, I love my colleagues in ministry in this community. I'm a member of the Camarillo Ministerial Association. These are great guys. But I wish that they would read the Fourth Commandment in its entirety. Most of them, if you ask them what the Fourth Commandment says, they will give you one sentence: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, period. And now the Sabbath is called Sunday to most of them. Have you picked up on that? We know it as Sabbath. Then one of the gentlemen said, good question. He says, but the calendar has been changed. How do you know the seventh day is still the seventh day? And I said, good question. But guess what? You know, when they redid, they shortened the calendar from the Grecian calendar or whatever it was to the current one to get it to 365 days, they did take days out, but they did not change the weekly cycle. So Sunday through Sabbath have always been the same. And remember, gentlemen, what Daniel and Revelation say. They say that men will attempt to change times and laws. But God says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and how long? Forever. They're listening. The Holy Spirit is working. I open my Bible to Revelation 12, 17. And I have it sitting there, and the gentleman sitting next to me is a dear, dear friend, and he is a Bible scholar. And I said, LB, check this verse out. And I pointed to the 17th verse of chapter 12. Do you remember what it says? Here are they that keep the commandments, have the faith of Jesus and keep the commandments of God. God's remnant people. And I said, you know, Jesus came along and he never changed the Sabbath or the commandments. He did come and fulfill the promise that he would come as our Redeemer. But remember, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God changes not. Oh, I'm planting seeds through the help of the Holy Spirit. And my friends, we've got to be planting seeds, don't we? If you don't plant them, who else is going to plant them? You have contact with people that nobody else, with your knowledge of Scripture, has that can make a difference in those people's lives. Pray for the opportunity. On Wednesday, I'm sitting there, and a gentleman who sits in the back of McDonald's all by himself, his name is Jim, who I've gotten to meet and to know. And when I walked in, there was another gentleman sitting there in the power wheelchair. Not a wheelchair, what do you call them? Motorized. Yeah, scooter, what, you know, allows Wendy to get around everywhere. I see her all over town. It's so wonderful. So I said hi to him and kept walking. Well, Jim later came over, tapped me on the shoulder, and he says, Pastor, I think you need to go talk to Daniel. He's looking for a church. So I said to him, no, can't do that. Think that's what I said? I'm shook up, guys. No, that's not what I said. I said, thank you. He left. I waited a few minutes. Didn't want it to be too obvious what had just occurred. Because Daniel couldn't see us having this conversation. And then I walked up and went over and sat down and talked with Daniel. And Jim looked over and said, thank you. Really getting easy to share Jesus. Isn't that fun? All right, I want to walk you through in just a couple minutes here the sermon that you're going to hear later in the month, okay? Now, we have an important meeting coming up. We have an important meeting coming up. We really do. And here's what we're going to do. Here's what Acts 4:31 says. This was our scripture today. Get out your little sheet that I gave you. It's in your bulletin. If there's a deacon handy and there are any extras out there, we'll get one to you. If you don't mind sharing, because we're going to fill this out. We are going to do that today, okay? But I just had to share with you how Jesus is working. And our vision and our values and our mission are to do what? To keep the gospel to ourselves? No. We are admonished as disciples of Jesus to go out and share the gospel, aren't we? So we need to be praying for that opportunity. Now in Acts 4:31, you have Peter and John, who had just been released from spending a night in the temple jail because of what they had been doing. You see, they had entered the temple in chapter 3 and had healed the lame man through the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus had healed him. We understand that, right? And that made people unhappy because, whoa, Jesus was gone. And here his followers are doing the work that he did. Praise the Lord for that. And so they had joined the believers in chapter 4, beginning with verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the others had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, and then it records their prayer. And down in verse 39 of chapter 4 of the book of Acts, they write, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Isn't that exciting? How many of you have been a little shy about sharing the good news of Jesus besides me? Anybody else there? Yes. Verse 30, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31, our text today, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was what? Shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with the word of God with boldness. Wow. So the key elements of a Holy Spirit-filled relationship with Jesus are, number A, much prayer. We've got to be on our knees praying for the Holy Spirit to do its work. B, we've got to be coming together, praying together, spending time together. But we've got to come together and not just talk. We've got to come together and make plans of how we're going to go out through the power and grace of Jesus and finish the work. There's a mission field right here in Camarillo. Remember the statistics. I think it was one, help me, Will, one in four? No, it was different. What was the number of 18 to 29-year-olds, the percentage? Pardon?
That leave the church?
Yes, that leave the church.
It's over 66%.
Yes, did you hear that? Over
66%.
Over 66% of 18 to 29-year-olds are leaving all churches. Not just our church, that's across the board out there. We've got a work to do, don't we? We've got to be praying for the Holy Spirit to show us how to reach these young people and keep them engaged in ministry in our church. And C, one of the key elements is recognizing in each other that we have been with who? That we've been with Jesus. Just as these disciples did. You know, that was the last sentence there in verse 31. Or no, that goes back to Acts 4:13. Let's go to Acts 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Now, how many of you have said, well, Pastor Dennis, I'm not educated or I'm not gifted in giving Bible studies? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but think about that for a moment. You ever had a fear of giving a Bible study? Anybody besides me would raise your hand? All right. What are you fearful of? If Jesus is in your heart, and you have asked him to show you, and you've come to the pastor and you said, Pastor Dennis, can you help me with some study guides or some information that I can take and do Bible studies with? And you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, you have nothing to fear. And then we can say, like in this verse, when these men looked at these two disciples, Peter and John, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. That's the key. The key is always a relationship with Jesus. A strong, growing, vibrant relationship with Jesus. How do you get that? We find in number two here that a Christian disciple is a, guess what two missing words there are? If you looked at John 15, verse 8, you would find the key. By this my Father is glorified, that you do what? Bear much fruit. How much fruit? Just a little bit? No, much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Pretty cool, isn't it? And if you looked at Galatians 5:22, verses 22, 23, and 25, notice what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is, notice these words, love, say it with me, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Wow. And verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also do what? Walk in the Spirit. So if you're living in the Spirit, you're never walking alone, correct? He's walking with you. I prefer that he go in front of me as well as in me. Are you with me? Why do I want him to go in front of me? I want him to go ahead of me to prepare the way. That's right, Bonnie said it. To prepare the way, to prepare the soil for the seed to fall, and then the Holy Spirit comes and waters the seed, pulls the weeds when necessary, fertilizes, that's what God's job is, and then in the end, you have a harvest. Pretty simple, isn't it? But you got to be engaged. You got to be plugged in. You've got to have Jesus focused on your life. All right, I'm going to take time. I've got something you've got to see today. It's about a 3-minute video that will challenge your thinking, I hope. And then I have some assumptions I want to make following it. Can you show that now? It's about moving a barn in Bruno, Nebraska.
It was Herman Ostrey's idea. His barn needed moving to higher ground anyway, and he thought this would be a grand way to celebrate Bruno, Nebraska's centennial. Some had no doubt that with a hearty heave-ho, the barn would go.
Think you're strong enough to lift it?
Yes, I can lift 90 pounds.
But others weren't so sure.
I hope so. I think so.
To pull off a project like this, you need a lot of muscle and a little help from above.
The barn you see was born 1928.
So it looks like we're going to be about ready to go. And we're going to thank the Lord for the beautiful day that we are all hoping for. We hope that we can accomplish what we're set out to do here today. We hope to make some history.
So everybody on it, grab a hold. Everyone ready. I see all the hands are down. I can see right through the barn.
Forward very slowly, very steadily. Just beautiful. Just to show the world how we can work together, just as glorious to be.
Does anybody feel that we need to stop in a certain length of time?
Good. It's going great. Slowly, steadily lift again. Straight up. There you go. Beautiful. Up again, let's go slowly and steadily forward now. Real slow, real steadily forward. Beautiful. Just take more steps and move real slowly. It's perfect.
Careful of your heel, careful of your pedal, helmet. You're doing a great job.
Okay, slowly, steadily lift again. Okay, go slowly, steadily coming in. Try to turn the water. That way, keep coming, just real slow, real steady, keep it coming.
Keep on going.
Yeah. Okay, let's keep right on going. Keep going through.
job. Just great. You guys are doing the most beautiful job anyone could ever through on the sea. Slow down, we're gonna stop. Let's stop there. Okay, we'll stop right. Just a hair more.
The women carriers are doing a fantastic job. It's just a beautiful job. Slowly
lower. There you go. We're going to have a little
bit off the ground. There's the water on under it, I guess.
You ever seen a barn move like this before?
Yeah,
it
has a hammer.
Is it heavy? Oh, I got
not mustard. Any more
barn?
Well, you may ask, Pastor Dennis, what's the point? What's the point? Why do you share that with us on a Sabbath morning? Teamwork. It takes family. It takes neighbors. When you think about what just happened on that day, notice how it started out. How do you move an old building from where it's always been to where it needs to be now? That's a great question for us. Where do we take our church from where it's been and where it needs to be now? That's why we need you here on February 25. We've got to answer these questions among us. Everybody needs to be here on February 25. It's time for all of us to get involved. So I have under number three there, we need a village to work together. And when we do that, we're cooperating together and marvelous things begin to happen. We can move barns from low ground to higher ground. Al, I just gave you a new idea on how to move the next building you need to move. Got it under control. Now, you know, the sad part is there were 300 and how many people moving that barn? Yeah. And how many onlookers? 4,000. It was a big deal. They've never had anything this exciting in Bruno, Nebraska until that day. We're moving a barn. Oh, yeah, I got to see this. Teamwork makes a difference. You see, heavy lifting requires cooperation. Heavy teamworking requires teamwork. Requires a positive connection with the Holy Spirit, anointing us so that we stay in step with Him and He does the heavy lifting for us. You see, each of those individuals that lifted up that barn were only carrying about 40-some pounds apiece. Not bad. Not bad. And so with God's help, we can move mountains, can't we? And we can provide vibrant and exciting ministries in and for and with our church to grow our family into the family of God Jesus really desires it to be. Well, you might ask this question, what does this have to do with discipleship? And I have some ideas I'd like to share with you as we conclude our time together today. Under number four there, you have a disciple makes time for Jesus. A disciple makes time for Jesus and his and her family. You schedule it. You make it your highest priority. Number five, a disciple places great value on nurturing and sustaining a deep, loving relationship with Jesus through prayer and study of the Word. You've got to have food to chew on, don't you? That's where the Word comes in. You've got to study the Word, know the Word. Number six, a disciple may not have much money or time, but he or she gives faithfully of both. That's the challenge. You have to make time for Jesus. Number seven, a disciple is a bodybuilder. A disciple builds up the body of Christ. We're here to work together. We're not here to criticize one another. We're not here to annoy one another. No, 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 no. We are here to build positive relationships together under the leadership of the Holy Spirit so that we can accomplish the work He has planned for us to accomplish. Number eight, a disciple looks for the good in, you know the answer to that one, all believers. Doesn't matter the age, doesn't matter the gender, all of us have a work to do for Jesus. Number nine, a disciple works together with all the faithful to move the what? Church to higher ground. And there's always room for growth and movement in the positive direction in God's church. Number 10, when we unite together under the power of the Holy Spirit, our lives will flourish and our desire and ability to catch these words, these are new ones or maybe new to you, explain and expose Jesus to our families, church, and the world. The desire, our desire and ability to explain and expose Jesus to our families, church, and the world will be unlimited through the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you would have put those two words in there? I learned that at the conference. I said, I like that. That's what we're called to do. Expose and explain Jesus to our friends. Number 11, I want you to ponder on this one very carefully. Is our mission here at the Camarillo Seventh-day Adventist Church to grow in the unity and power of the Holy Spirit as a vibrant church family? Is that our mission? Transforming every member into a spiritual champion. And in John 13:35, we have these words. By this, all who know that you are my disciples, if you have what? Love for one another. That's how we know. That's how we can sit down and we can share together ways to grow our church and to build disciples of Jesus Christ and to equip disciples of Jesus Christ and have a frank and open Christ-centered discussion on how to do that. You know, I'm open to ideas that I've never dreamed of before. Now, remember, several years ago, we didn't have an adventure club. We didn't have a Pathfinder club. We had Wednesday night services, but no children. And there was a lady in this church who said, I'm going to change that. And she began providing movie night for the children. Bible-based movies for the children with apples and popcorn. Anybody know who that lady is? You don't know who she is. Well, she doesn't go around telling people that she did this. But because of her efforts, we soon had an adventure club. And not long after that, we had a Pathfinder club. The lady who caught the vision saw a need and said, I'm going to help. She said to me something like this, Pastor Dennis, I don't want anybody to have an excuse for not coming out to Wednesday night service, especially if they have children. I'm going to provide a ministry for our children. And she did. Her name is Bonnie. You know her as the storyteller. I love her and the gift that she has shared with your children. How many of you were here on Wednesday night and shared that time with Bonnie? Anybody here? We've got several gone today. But I remember that, and I remember it well. And I always look forward to it because I'd sneak in there and get popcorn and an apple before I had to go teach the adults. Bonnie was all shook up. She saw a mission. She saw a vision. She saw something that could be valuable to this church, and she met that on her own. Thank you, Bonnie. She's not the only one. There are many others here that have done the same thing and are doing the same thing. Well, number 12, each of us has a part to play. True or false? That's true. So the missing word there is part. Each of us has a part to play. There's no room for spectators. Rather, an entire church or a united church, both words are apropos, fully participating in discipleship growth and moving our church and its families to higher ground. Picture them moving the barn. Each of us surrounding a child. Replace the metaphor of the barn with a child. Each of us surrounding that child and lifting them up. Keeping their eyes on Jesus. And you as a retiree, you as don't even know some of these children and families. But from now on, you're going to start noticing them. You're going to make sure that you send a note to that family this week. And you're saying, you know, I'm going to respond to Pastor Dennis's call. And I'm going to send, I just wanted to send you a note and let you know I'm thinking of you and praying for you. And so, name the children. Get to know the children by name. This is very, very, very important. Every one of us can do more than one thing. If you were a parent and you got a note from another church member that was encouraging you, would you throw that note away? I don't think so. Now, if you just got one of those notes over time, they don't really care. So this is where we have to keep doing it on a regular basis. That's just one idea. There are many ways that we can do this to reach our children for Jesus. As I wrap up today, I want to invite you to commit to praying for our brothers and sisters for the latter rains outpouring on us. Are you willing to do that? Is it your desire to be fully involved and committed as a disciple of Jesus in your home, work, and community? And church to make a difference. Will and I are here as your partners. We're here to be the wind beneath your wings. We can't do the work for you. We can't pray your prayers. We will be praying for you and with you. But if you want to have your cup filled full to overflowing with the Holy Spirit's gift and power, you must be inviting Him in all day, every day. And may you choose to do that. I invite you to remain seated as we have our final song, My Prayer. And again, thank you, Nathan and Elisa, for blessing us with your music today.